Public enemy. Yes, I do.
Hello there, everybody. I'm Scott Horton, and welcome to the Weekend Interview Show. I'm here every Saturday from 3 to 5 Texas time to interview the anti-war greats, for the most part. And we have a great show set up for you today. First up will be Carl Webb, and you'll find out all about him in just a moment. Second hour, we're going to be talking to Anonymous, perhaps better known now as Michael Scheuer, who's the author of the book Imperial Hubris, Why the West is Losing the War on Terror. And it's a great book. I just finished it this morning, and I got about 3 hours worth of questions for Mr. Scheuer, so that'll be a great interview coming up 1 hour from now. First guest today is Carl Webb, and he's AWOL right now, on the run from the national government of the United States, which would apparently like to compel him against his will to go and, quote-unquote, serve his country in Iraq. Welcome to the show, Carl Webb.
How you doing?
I'm doing great. It's great to have you on.
Thanks.
Okay, so I have this Constitution thing here, and apparently back in the day when the people of the 14 sovereign states decided they would let Hamilton centralize their government, they made him write up this contract that specifically outlined the powers the new government would have and was full of a list of explicit restrictions and also had the ability to be amended. And when it was amended for the 13th time on December the 6th, 1865, the 13th Amendment said, neither slavery nor involuntary servitude, except as punishment for crime whereof the party shall have been duly convicted, shall exist within the United States or any place subject to their jurisdiction. This is back when the states were still plural. Isn't that funny? Their jurisdiction. Section 2, Congress shall have the power to enforce this article by appropriate legislation. So my question is, if the contract explicitly says that all involuntary servitude is illegal, I have trouble understanding why you're on the run from the national government right now. Mr. Webb, please help explain to me what's happened.
I'm also totally confused by this this policy. People, you know, continue to ask me, well, didn't you see that in your enlistment contract that you might have to serve beyond your time? And I just continue to tell them no. Typically, before this new stop loss policy was implemented, people enlisted, you know, of course we're talking about the all volunteer army after the Vietnam War, for a specified amount of time. Whether it be 3 years, 4 years, or 5 years, you were done. If you went, you know, the whole 20 and retired, you retired at 20. Now, what the stop loss policy is basically doing is making null and void, you know, everyone's contract obligation and sort of putting them indefinitely in the service of the government.
Which is, it's actually quite interesting. The government that supposedly exists as its basic function to protect the status of contracts, they want to void the part of your contract that says when you can leave, but they want to keep the part of your contract that says that you're part of the military in the first place. So I don't understand, how is it that they want to avoid part of the contract but not the whole contract?
It's beyond me also.
Only the enforcers of contracts can get away with doing that to their own contracts.
Obviously, that's the way they intended it.
All right, everybody, we're talking with Carl Webb. It's the Weekend Interview Show, and we'll be right back after this break. there, my friends. It's the Weekend Interview Show. I'm Scott Horton, and we're talking with AWOL soldier Carl Webb. Before we get back to it, I want to say very quickly, if you're the type who has deep pockets, do me a favor, would you, and go to antiwar.com and donate. I'm not in any way officially affiliated with them, although I consider Matt Barganier and Eric Garris good friends of mine. And also, they run my interviews quite often, maybe even this one sometime next week. But they're doing their pledge drive right now, and they're falling behind. And it seems like the war party has access to the printing presses. Those of us who can possibly afford to do our best to donate to what probably is, at least in cyberspace, the best opposition to the war party anywhere, and that's antiwar.com. So I'm pretty broke myself and not much of a position to donate, but I want to urge all of you to, if that is possible. Now, we're talking with Carl Webb. He's AWOL, and you can read all that, all about him and his situation at carlwebb.net, carlwebb.net. And in fact, Mr. Webb, I'm looking at the website right now, and there's an email here that I guess it says is the last email you received from Fort Hood regarding your situation. And it says here, quote, in accordance with Army regulations, you have been dropped from our roles of the 56th BCT. The Provost Marshal Office for Fort Hood will enter your information in the National Criminal Information System as a deserter from the U.S. military. You should contact an attorney immediately, as this status has dire consequences. If arrested, you will be prosecuted for all violations of the Uniform Code of Military Justice. So, sounds to me like you're in pretty big trouble here, Mr. Webb.
That's what it seems like. I'm just thinking, when are they going to act on that threat? Because I haven't received any paperwork saying that charges have actually been filed. I actually called the Trial Defense Service at Fort Hood, and they said they hadn't received anything. I called the Deserter Information Point at Fort Knox, and just last night, in fact, and they hadn't received anything.
All right. Well, let's rewind a little bit here and get back to the beginning of your story. You've been in a pretty much career military man, isn't that right?
Off and on, yes. I did 7 years on active duty, not all at once, and about another 7 or 8 in the reserves and National Guard.
And have you seen war before?
No, I have not. I was lucky that I somehow managed to miss any kind of conflicts or combat.
Okay, and then you were out of the military for a while and decided to get back in. Now, let me make sure I got this right. You're in the Texas State Guard, is that right?
The Texas Army National Guard.
Oh, the Army National Guard, okay. And when did you sign up to join the Texas Army National Guard?
Well, I had really bad timing. I enlisted in August of 2001.
Ouch.
yeah, that's what I said the very next month. For what I thought was going to be a 3-year enlistment, as according to my contract. And in July of 2004, I was informed that I was to be involuntarily extended in the military for an additional 545 days.
And this is only 1 month before you were supposed to get out?
Correct. I was on almost my very last drill.
Okay, now what is this 90-day limit? I've read a couple of times on your website you talk about they have to promise to deploy you within 90 days if they're going to
stop loss. The stop-loss policy affects anyone within 90 days of the end of their contract or retirement. So if you were to finish your enlistment contract, they have up until 3 months to call you back. They call you and say, this unit is going to deploy within 3 months, even if you already finished, even if you already retired, they can call you, you know, call you back and force you to return to military status.
Oh, so that means even if you've been out of the military for 89 days or something, your time was up, they can still, you still count.
That's right. It just so happened that they called me a month before I was get out. But even if I had already finished, I think you've seen several of the news shows on TV or maybe some of the talk shows where they're calling back even people that have retired. You know, 40, 50-year-old soldiers.
Now, your contract for the Texas National Guard, that's not you're not like in the individual ready reserve where it says in your contract, hey, we're going to still pay you and we want you to still show up on weekends, but we can call you back to active duty within the next few years, something like that. This is not the same as being in the individual ready reserve. Am I right?
Right. I was not in the individual ready reserve. I had already fulfilled that part of the contract.
What I'm trying to get to here is there's nothing in your contract that would ever lead you to believe that they could do this to you, whereas somebody in the IRR, they know what the risks are.
Right, right. There's nothing in my contract that stipulates that I could be held beyond my obligation.
Okay, now, why don't you want to go to Iraq? I mean, we're creating a wonderful democracy over there. You're making the Middle East. Don't you want to be part of history?
I do not believe the U.S. Went to Iraq for the sake of protecting our democracy or anybody else's democracy. It could be a number of things. They could be fighting for oil and profits or just brute power. But obviously to me, it's not in the interest of our democracy or anybody else's democracy.
So your specific objection is to this war. It's not that you're a coward?
No, I'm not a pacifist, and I'm not a coward. I did investigate, you know, the process of conscientious objection, because I always thought you had to be pretty much a religious person in order to get that, and a strict pacifist, but I learned afterwards that wasn't exactly the case, but the military has very, very strict guidelines on who they grant it to. But I am not pacifist. I am opposed to this war on political and moral ground, not religious.
What exactly are those guidelines that you have to fulfill in order to be granted conscientious objector status?
Well, in a nutshell, you have to be opposed to any type of organized violence. You don't have to be a strict pacifist, because you are allowed to defend yourself, defend your home, your family.
Won't it be kind of hard to make that case since you've spent so many years in the U.S. military?
Well, they do allow people to have a change of mind. There are other soldiers that can make the claim that they've gone through some sort of religious, you know, or spiritual transformation, but that wasn't my case. I'm not opposed to violence in all aspects. If I was asked, Carl, would you fight in the Civil War? Of course, on the Union side, I would say yes. If I was asked, if it was 1945 and you were in Europe, would you fight the Nazis? Would you be in the underground against fascism? I would say yes. Those are good wars, or good causes to fight or die for. This specific case that we're in right now, I do not believe the U.S. is fighting in the interest of democracy, and I won't participate in it.
Do you have a good lawyer, Mr. Webb?
I do not have a lawyer, but I have had plenty of legal counsel. There's an organization called the National Lawyers Guild, and in San Francisco, they started something called the Military Law Task Force. If anybody's interested, they can actually go online to www.nlg.org, which is National Lawyers Guild, and they should be able to find a link to the Military Law Task Force. And I've also been in contact with different organizations like the GI Rights Hotline and Center for Conscious Objection and Austin Against War, which is in Texas, and other groups around the country.
You are from here in Austin, right?
Not originally. I've been in Texas for the past decade, but I'm originally from New Orleans.
I see. So that's kind of an extra little thing for me. Hometown guy on the run. Are you on the run? You're hiding out at a friend's house somewhere in America or something, or what?
Well, when they told me to report on August 16th, I instead got on a bus and decided to leave the state of Texas with the intent that I would turn myself in to military authorities later. So I'm, for the moment, refusing to come back to Texas and report to my unit.
All right, everybody, it's the Weekend Interview Show, weekendinterviewshow.com. We're talking with Carl Webb, conscientious objector. We'll be right back. Welcome back to the Weekend Interview Show. My first guest is Carl Webb. He's proving the old adage that Abraham Lincoln did not abolish slavery, he nationalized it. And doesn't matter what color your skin is, if you sign that contract to join the military, they can void out the part that says when you get to leave and keep the part that says that you joined in the first place. And this guy, Carl Webb, on the phone, is on the run from the national government of the United States. Now, you said before the break, Carl, that you were preparing to turn yourself in to military authorities for being a deserter, but you haven't done that yet. Why is that?
Well, I should clarify for me, because you just stated I was on the run from the government of the United States. But I was in the Texas Army National Guard, which was then federalized by the governor when George Bush said that, this is a state of national emergency. So I'm actually kind of confused myself as to whether, I'm still a member of the Texas Army National Guard, or am I a member of the U.S. Army. This is the first time in history. The U.S. has used different various state national guards in times of conflict, but this is the first time in history that they've used them to this great extent. I think something like almost half the forces we have on the ground in Iraq are in the guards and reserve. So I'm actually not sure, whether I'm under whose jurisdiction I'm under.
Right, yeah, it's now hard to know what your options are when you're not even sure if you're being chased or by who.
Correct. I've been calling the Fort Knox, the regular army, and they say, "Oh, we don't have any records of you. This is a matter for the state of Texas, since you're in the Texas National Guard, and you need to call that number." So,
as they're confused, roll with it. Wait for them to get their stuff straight before you get yours. Now, I got to say to you, Carl, I'm for liberty, and I would never argue in favor of a stop-loss order, but I got to do a little devil's advocate here and tell you that, and I'm sure you've heard this, you know, people will say, hey, tough, you signed up to be paid with tax money, and that's what you get. You knew exactly that that was a possibility, and don't pretend you didn't. Your job is to die for the government of this country. Did you think you didn't know? Are you pretending you didn't know that, or what? I'm serious.
Well, to those people, I would, of course, I would give them the finger. And I would say, no, that's, I don't care what they think. I think, and it doesn't matter, you know, under what circumstances or when or where you found yourself, in a military organization. If you thought that that you were on the wrong side or being used for the wrong cause, I don't feel that a person should be obligated to continue that.
So you're saying that if they promise in your contract that your job is to defend America, then you're not obligated under that contract to go start a war?
Especially since we're not defending America. You know, like I'm saying, I'm not a pacifist. I have no qualms about attacking or killing somebody. But I want to make sure that I'm doing it for the right cause, for the right reason. I want to make sure that if I'm fighting on the right side, in the interest of myself or others. I have no interest in this cause that George Bush has undertaken. And I don't think anybody else, regardless of the circumstances they found themselves in the military, should participate in either.
Do you know how many others there are like you around the country or outside the country right now?
Last I heard, there were about 5,000 soldiers AWOL. And that's not including the Navy or the Air Force.
Okay, now, real quick, tell us any groups you're associated with, ways that you can be contacted, et cetera, like that.
Well, for those in Texas, in Austin, Texas, Austin Against War is a movement that they definitely would want to check out, and they can be reached. You can see their website at www.austinagainstwar.org. People who think they need assistance with from within, you know, about the military matters, they could, like I say, go to National Lawyers Guild, which is at www.nlg.org, and from there they'll see the link to the Military Law Task Force.
All right, thank you very much, Carl Webb. Everybody, check out carlwebb.net. It's 2 B's, CARLWEBB.net, and check out awesomeagainstwar.org, and I want to thank you very much for coming on the show today.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth.